the 1960s, Pete Joubert and his wife Mickey and their three children came to the United States from their home in South Africa. And they traveled around the country visiting churches that had been supporting Pete and the preaching that he was doing in South Africa. They came through Memphis, and they stayed with my family. I was just a little fella, and it was just really interesting to watch them and to listen to them particularly. I can remember Mickey telling Peter, their son, "Peter, put on your jersey." Oh, what is a jersey? Well, it was a sweater. But after some time had passed and they had had conversations like that, I think it was at the dinner table where I said to my dad, "Daddy, these people talk funny." And of course, they found that hilarious because they thought that every word that came out of my mouth was funny as well. I think I probably came off to them as a little miniature Gomer Pyle. I expect they were expecting to hear any moment, "Shazam!" But you know, people do talk funny. People do. We talk differently from one another. I mean, even now, it is quite common when I'm out or in public, you know, and dealing with someone in a store, they'll say, "Where are you from?" And I'll tell them, and they'll say, "Well, I didn't think you were from around here," you know. And that's true. That's right. I talk funny to people from around here. They'll say something about my accent, and I'll say, "Accent?" There's a little bit of this that goes on in the book of Matthew, in the 26th chapter. In Matthew's account of Jesus' trial, and he is recounting how Peter was there in the courtyard where the trial was going on. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69 to the end of the chapter say that now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a cock crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. And this is a very familiar account to most of you, I am sure. It's a tragic occurrence in the life of this man, Peter. It was a bitter failure on his part that I'm sure, you know, remained in his memory all the rest of his days. But in the midst of what transpired here, we see where a group of people who approached Peter said to him, "Surely you," in verse 73, "surely you are one of them, for the way you talk gives you away." And what they are discussing here is the fact that he was a Galilean. and that he spoke with the accent of a Galilean. The Galileans were probably a bit more rustic and not as finished and polished maybe in their conversation as were the people of Judea and those that had lived around Jerusalem. And it was just obvious from the speech patterns that he was a Galilean, and that's where all of these people had come from who had been with Jesus. They had all been Galileans. And so they say to him, and I think a kind of an interesting observation, the way you talk gives you away. Well, I want to talk to you about that this morning. Because the way you talk, the way I talk, gives us away. It reveals something about us. It reveals something about who we are. And that can be a good thing. The way that you talk ought to reveal some good things about you and about who you are, about the way you live your life. Or it can reveal some negative things, some bad things. And I'd like to talk to you just for a few moments this morning about the fact that the way you talk is important. The Bible has a lot to say to us about our speech. You know, you're familiar with the passages of in James of being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The reference was made here just a few moments ago to Jesus's reference to the fact that what comes out of our mouth is an indication of what is in our heart. And there's just a lot that the Bible says about how important it is what you say, the way that you talk. Well, I want to suggest to you that the way you talk can give you away, but and particularly if the way you talk is a lot of boasting. We're warned in the Scriptures, in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, for instance, not to boast of tomorrow, for you don't know what the day will bring. You don't possess that knowledge. And so you need to be careful about the way you talk, and that you don't become boastful. One of my favorite passages of Scriptures is from the Old Testament, in which the warning is given to let not him who puts on the armor boast as he who puts it off. You just think about that a little bit, and don't you become such a braggart that you're going to brag and boast about, you know, what you're going to do before you do it. Let not him who puts on the armor boast as he who puts it off. The book of James, of course, famous for its practicality, speaks to this as well. It is not surprising that there is much in the letter of James that addresses our use of our tongues and warns us about being people who misspeak. James is a great letter that teaches us that the way you talk gives you away. But in James, the fourth chapter, in verse 13 and following, again, another passage I know is familiar to you, James writes, "Come now, you who say," he's talking about talking, "you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in big business and make profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, here's the way you ought to talk. If the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, what I want to point out to you is from this familiar passage, while we, you know, we think about the admonition to remember your life is just a vapor, it appears for a while. Those, you know, all of that is very familiar to us from this text. But verse 16 is a verse we need to pay close attention to. He says, you boast in your arrogance, and you're talking about what you're going to do and when you're going to do it, and you completely left God out of the picture. He says, you're boasting in that. You know what that word boast is? An interesting word. You know what it literally means? It literally means to make the mouth wide. What a great picture. To make the mouth wide. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you got a big mouth. He said, that's your problem. That's the problem with the way you talk. That's what's being given away about the way you talk. That's what's being revealed, is you just got a big mouth. And you're talking about a lot of things that you've got no knowledge of. You're a braggart and you're boastful in the way that you talk. And he concludes then with the familiar passage, verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And I think probably most of us know that the right thing to do is to keep a guard, as the scriptures speak to us about, keep a guard on our tongues, to keep a guard on our mouths, to be careful about what we say, and not to become braggarts and boastful about things that we have no control whatsoever over. Because to talk that way will give us away. But the scriptures also speak to us about the problem of vulgarity and speaking in a vulgar and coarse fashion. Turn over to the book of Ephesians, if you would, where the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 is in the midst of a section of his letter where he's giving very practical kind of instruction to his brethren. He's telling them how to live their lives, you know, from day to day. And in chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, he says, but do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among the saints. So he's telling them that these things that were very common among the Gentile people, he says, don't let these things be named among you as being proper, as being acceptable among those who are the saints. But he goes on, he says, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He's talking about how you can live so that you can have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And he's telling them the way you talk is going to give you away. It's going to give you away as to whether or not you really have an inheritance among God's people or not. And he says the way that you that is commonly practiced in speaking among the Gentile people would include very much like in our own society, it would include a great deal of vulgarity. He says, you must not speak in that way. There should be no filthiness. And he's not just haphazardly choosing his words here. He's conveying very accurately the way in which people talked commonly. They would speak in a filthy sort of way. Does that sound strange to you? Is that something that you encounter? Your workaday world, when you're at the office, do you hear a lot of filthiness? Or he also describes it as silly talk. That which is foolish, that wastes time. I guess maybe a lot of what goes on at the water cooler, and a lot of discussions that may take place there. But he says that among those who are seeking an inheritance in the kingdom of God, there ought not to be the filthiness of talk or the coarse jesting. And there again, he's... There would have been a lot of humor, a lot of fun made about things among the Gentile people. They were noted for an appreciation of humor, very much as our own in our own society. There's a lot of emphasis placed upon humor. But what Paul says is, now here's what will give you away. As being someone who is not suited to receive an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. That's if your jesting is coarse, if it's rough. It's that same idea of vulgarity. So let me say this to you, that what you and I need to be thoughtful about. And giving some concern to is whether or not in our speaking that we adopt a coarse and a vulgar way of speaking that is commonly accepted within our world. And in doing so, we give ourselves away as being a people who truly are not going to receive an inheritance from the kingdom of heaven. Scriptures also speak to us in warning about gossip and slander. Over in Romans chapter 1, we find in the latter verses of that chapter that Paul... Paul writes these words. He says, being filled, verse 29, with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Well, that's a pretty serious list, isn't it? Of people who are alienated from God, people who comprise a society that is on a downward spiral, as Paul describes it in these verses. And right in the midst of that list, He says, the way you talk is going to give you away. It's going to give you away as to whether or not you're these kind of people. He says that that they had become people who were gossips and slanderers. Well, we hear a lot sometimes about gossip. What is it? What is he talking about when he discusses gossip and slander here? Well, he's talking about those who would make accusations that were maliciously uttered. He's talking about talking that is intended to harm, that's intended to hurt. The purpose is to damage the reputation of someone. Paul writes about this over in 1 Timothy and chapter 3 and verse 11. When he gives instruction again in a very practical sense, that women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. And if you look over in Titus, he gives a similar instruction to Titus in chapter 2 and in verse 3, where he says there, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Malicious gossip will give you away. It'll reveal that you're not the kind of person that you really ought to be, that will receive some inheritance from the kingdom of the Lord. Now, a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, I don't repeat gossip, so listen close the first time. And we can make light, and we all understand that, you know, that we're joking about something like that. But scriptures are pretty plain, and they're pretty direct, that to be involved in gossiping, and by the way, just because what you say is factually true doesn't mean that it is not gossip. We can speak things that are factually true and do so with the intent to maliciously hurt someone. And if we do that, then we are gossiping and slandering the person. And the way that we talk is giving us away as to the true nature of our character. And the last thing I would say to you is that the Bible speaks to us as well about the dangers of lying. The book of Colossians, chapter 3, and in verse 9, Paul says, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." He gives almost exactly the same direction in Ephesians chapter 4, where he talks about seeing that we've put aside all falsehoods, speak truth with one another. It's just inconsistent with the nature of the Christian to lie and to misrepresent to one another. That kind of practice, he says in both of these passages, Colossians and Ephesians, that kind of practice, it was to be put aside. It was to have been put away with the old man of sin. That's the old way of living. That's the old practice. And if you're still doing it, and by the way, the fact that Paul would include this instruction to the Colossians and to the Ephesians both is probably an indication that that's exactly what they were doing to one another. And he was writing to instruct them, you stop doing that. Why? Well, he says, basically what he's saying is, if that's the way you're talking to one another, if you cannot depend on one another for an honest representation, then the way you're talking is saying something about you. It's saying something about yourself. When we talk about lying, of course, we're talking about things that are said with the intent to deceive. The origin of lying is plainly stated by Jesus in John the 8th chapter when he says Satan is the father of all lies. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, we have that familiar account of Ananias and Sapphira and the tragedy that occurred in their lives. And they were asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? God's attitude about lying is that the righteous man will hate it. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 5. He says of his righteous remnant in the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 13 that they would avoid lying. The righteous man in Psalms 40 and verse 4 rejects liars. He doesn't want to be a part of them. He doesn't want to be associated with them. The wicked are said to love lying, Psalms 52 and verse 3, to delight in it, Psalm 62 and verse 4, and to seek after it, Psalms 4 and verse 2. The penalty for lying is very clearly set forth at the conclusion of the Bible in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 27, nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22, and in verse 15, he says, outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the immoral persons, the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lying. And then back in chapter 21, again, and in verse 8, it says, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you're lying, the way you're talking gives you away. Because I'll guarantee you this, if you're a liar, it eventually will come out. It eventually will become known. It'll become realized by other people. And when it does, it will say to them something about you. Those people told Peter, the way you talk gives you away. And the message of the Scriptures is exactly the same. The way you talk gives you away. Does it give you away as a person who is seeking an inheritance from the kingdom of God, a person who's trying to live in a way that pleases the Lord? Is the way that you speak an indication of that commitment in your life? Or does the way that you speak reveal that you actually have no inclination, no interest, no desire for an inheritance from the kingdom of heaven? Well, if the latter is true, then you need to change that. The way that you talk is important, and it will have an effect upon your eternal destiny. If you're not a Christian, then today you need to become one. Giving your obedience to the gospel of Christ will make you a child of God. If you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and will turn away from your sins, and will confess your faith in Him, and if you would be baptized to wash the guilt of your sins away. You can become one of his children. And you can start working on talking in an admirable way. We hope that you'll do that while we stand and sing together.